Welcome to Marriage Heart to Heart. We're Tom and Elaine Waters with Restoration International.
Today we're going to be sharing with you handling our emotions, and there's some beautiful principles from the Word of God. So we hope you have a paper and pencil and take some notes as we talk about this important subject today.
Emotions. It's quite a topic, isn't it?
It is. We all have them too.
That's right. So it's not just women.
It's not just women.
And there are a lot of different kinds of emotions, aren't there?
There's all kinds of emotions.
Well, we're going to be talking about some of the most common destructive emotions. You know, we don't have to spend a lot of time talking about the ones that are happy and joyful and upbuilding. We need to be talking about how we can get past the ones that we don't want, that are destructive. Emotions like fear and anger and hate. Even the word hate is terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very coarse.
That's right. Bitterness, jealousy, grief. Now, grief, while grief is a normal process that we go through, especially when we lose someone that we love, we often think of it in death. But even grief, if it is not handled appropriately, can be very destructive and devastating. Anxiety, which is a common emotion, a response that we can often enter into. Guilt and depression. There's quite a list of them.
There's a big list, and I think many couples experience a varying degree of any one or a number of those through their married life.
That's right.
And they're emotions that will destroy the relationship. It destroys the person, and when the person allows themselves to become destroyed, the relationship dies with it.
That's right.
So why don't we talk about defining emotions?
You know, we don't already know what they are?
We know what they are.
How they manifest themselves.
But where do they come from?
Yes.
It's something that happens in our mind. It's a thought that stimulates the mind, an excitement, and it leads to a visible response. Something that we can feel, something that can be seen in our countenance, in our eyes. I've often told you, honey, your eyes are changing. They're not as bright maybe as they were a few moments before. You know, and you say the same thing to me. We wear our emotions. It's something we can't control. They are a visible manifestation of what is happening in our thoughts.
So we can control them. That's what we're going to be talking about. But when we're experiencing them, we can't necessarily hide them well as we might want to sometimes.
We can't. What I meant is we can't cover them up.
That's right.
We can't control how we are on the outside, but we can learn through Christ how to change our emotions or where they start in the thoughts.
Well, I think probably most of the listening audience, the viewing audience, knows what we're talking about. But, you know, as I was thinking, emotions, I mean, emotions, they do have an impact. And I remember one day when we were talking about emotions and we were trying to discover, you know, what does it mean when we say we have an emotion? Now we know what it is when we cry. Okay, that's a response mm-hmm. to something that's going on inside. And I remember I was sitting next to you and all of a sudden I went, ah!
You did it again.
Did that have an effect on you?
Yes, it does.
Now, that typically is not the kind of emotion that we are demonstrating. It may have that kind of an action with it. It may have a loud voice. But I think all of us need to recognize that when we are experiencing emotions that are not being governed, and hopefully governed by Christ, they are having an impact on someone else in addition to us. They're having an emotional impact on us. They're changing us, but it's also having an effect, just like I can do that and it can have an effect on you, mm-hmm. even though you know that I might do that. Still has an effect, doesn't
right.
it?
And even when I'm not prepared for it and I'm not expecting it, the effect is much more dramatic. Mm-hmm. And that's why in the marriage, when some of these emotions are displayed and the other person isn't expecting there's going to be a problem, the effects are so much more detrimental.
That's right. So we need to talk about what's really happening in emotions and what are we going to do to deal with those emotions. You know, there's a Bible principle, Proverbs 23, verse 7. It says, as he thinketh in his heart, or as she thinketh in her heart, so is he, or so is she. So that begins to tell us that there's a place where emotions begin, that there's a reaction. Something stimulates an action or a reaction in us, and it begins in our thoughts. And I don't think that's a new thought to anybody out here, that where we begin to think leads us to where we begin to act and where we begin to speak. So there's a correspondence there, and if we understand what's happening in our thoughts and what we're doing with those thoughts, then we begin to understand how we can work through some of these emotions.
So it's what happens in our thoughts that change our whole countenance.
That's right.
So then is it fair to say, you hurt my feelings? Because I've said that to you before.
Yes, you have.
You hurt my feelings.
So
you
really,
make me feel sad. You make me feel angry. You make me feel irritated. You make me. Is that a fair statement?
No, it isn't. And that's not just a self-justification of myself, is it?
No, it's not. Because you've told me the same things too.
Okay. We really can't blame somebody else. We can't say that that person made me angry. Now, what we really mean by that is what you did to me is causing me to feel like I feel right now. It's causing me to react the way I'm reacting right now. But in reality, that means we're being controlled by another person, by their actions. What we really need to say and what we really need to be honest with is that I have to decide, as you treat me this way, whether I am going to react like you are, and I'm going to take on the spirit that you have, and you are therefore going to be in control of me, or whether I am going to allow Christ to be in control of me at that moment. What am I going to do with those thoughts?
So we have to go back to our thoughts, our choices with those thoughts, because the stimulus comes to us, and then we process it, and we decide how we're going to respond. And mostly, our natural inclination is to respond how it makes me feel, our human response. And this is why, you know, the Lord says, without me, you can do nothing.
That's right.
We can't control our emotions without the Lord. Without Christ, it is impossible for us to control our emotions. But with Him, all things are possible. And I know when we began to understand this in our marriage, the tremendous difference it made. So if you would respond, I'll say, in a negative way to me, rather than letting my mind start going down, you hurt my feelings, you make me feel sad, or this or that, I then choose to think, by Christ working in my thoughts, that I know He really didn't mean to say that. I know that's really not how He feels about me. I know He's been under a lot of stress today. And it changes how I respond, which then brings about harmony and healing very quickly in the marriage, instead of a downhill situation.
A domino effect that, you know, one person says something to the other person and they take up that spirit, and pretty soon you've lost the spirit of Christ in the situation. I actually did an experiment one time that was very interesting. As I was trying to understand more deeply myself what happens in emotional responses. So I did a little experiment like this. I was sitting at my desk simply thinking about emotions, and I wanted to see what that Bible verse, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so I began to reflect on a very negative situation. A situation that happened between me and another person, a situation that had never been resolved as far as that person towards me, and I started thinking about it. And you know, within a minute or less, I started recognizing that my heart was pounding. I could feel it pounding in my chest. I started becoming aware that my blood pressure was rising. I started recognizing that I was being anxious, that I was feeling this anxiety coming as I was thinking about the situation. It's interesting because it created two responses in me, two recognitions, I guess I could say. One is, I never really understood that clearly, as I focused on that, what a response happens inside of us, how it changes us, how our thoughts begin to change our feelings, and how it begins to have an emotional response. Secondly, in that very situation, I said, there's something I still need to deal with here that I need to deal with the Lord. I can't wait for that other person. You know, many times I think the problem that we have with emotions that are negative is we're waiting for somebody else to do something to change, then I can feel better, then I can stop having these emotional responses. And I realized that Jesus was calling to me in that situation, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so it was actually a beautiful experiment.
When that experiment took place, it had a dramatic effect in our relationship as well, because you began to recognize more clearly how important it was to have your thoughts where they need to be. If I don't always respond right, and I don't always respond right, I haven't always responded right, even though I love you very much, sometimes myself is still there. And when that happens, and you had that experience, I saw the direct correlation in our marriage. And I think it's been a very valuable experiment, shall we say, testing the Word of God to see how it really operates in the real moment by moment. And then as we understand that, the difference it can make in our experience.
That's right. And I want us to recognize, as we're talking about this, that we don't have to be controlled by our emotions. We don't have to be controlled by somebody else's emotions. And if we can recognize that, we can have some victories and we can have a new experience that God wants to give us. If we want to have marriages that are truly heart to heart, we need to be dealing with our emotions. And it begins by dealing with our thoughts. Now, we need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about some of those things that God wants to do to change us so that we can have better marriages. Welcome back, where we're talking about how we can handle our emotions. Better yet, how we can learn to allow Christ to give us the grace to handle our emotions in Him.
We've been talking about as we think, so we become. And I know I've talked to many wives, not just a few, who have the thought their husband doesn't love them. Now, it's true that he may be not as sensitive to them as he used to be. I know I went through that for a period of time in our early marriage. I didn't feel that you really loved me the way I loved you or the way I thought you loved me. But the thoughts entertained that a husband doesn't love his wife, if she continues to entertain that thought, everything about what he does is all interpreted by that thought. And what happens eventually is that because of her response in the little things, in their communication, in their daily interactions, that she soon creates the very atmosphere that she's been thinking of, because it's been so prevalent in her mind. And it becomes what we call in our home a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes, we've certainly seen that happen. I'm happy to say that we've seen more couples who are willing to break that fatal cycle of a self-fulfilling prophecy. But we've seen some, very sadly, who continue to hold on to these opinions and hold on to, this is how my husband treats me. And eventually, the man begins to treat her that way, even though that's not what was in his heart.
Mm-hmm. So it is with us, for me, for you, and for every one of our listeners out there today, that God wants to teach us how we deal with our thoughts. And that's why he tells us, let this mind be in you, be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus. Because as we learn to have the thoughts of Christ, we learn then to have our emotional responses as Christ's emotional responses were to those about him. And his emotional responses drew people to him and engendered love and harmony and beauty.
You know, one of the greatest blessings that I think we've experienced, and I know personally that I've experienced, that has helped me in this area of handling emotions, is recognizing that it's the love of myself. It's the love of self at the bottom of it all that really destroys my peace. And
you mean it's not me, dear?
Well, I used to think sometimes it was you. If you would just get on the right program with me, that I'd be, you know, everything would be great.
Now, I can encourage you, right? And I can be positive encouragement for you.
That's right. And that's the beauty of moving away from the selfish me focus, which we've talked about from time to time on this program. That focus always leads me to how you affect me. Mm-hmm. How everybody affects me. And that never brings peace. And so it's been revolutionary to our marriage to be able to recognize that when I don't have peace, when I don't feel good in myself because of something else someone else has done or some set of circumstances, it's not going to help to blame somebody else or blame those circumstances. It doesn't matter who starts it. It doesn't matter whose fault it is, who said what. None of those things are going to restore the peace and the blessing into the marriage until I'm willing to deal with myself. In that moment, I have a choice to make. When you've stepped on my toes, or as I perceive stepped on my toes, I have a choice to decide whether I'm going to follow my natural inclinations, respond to you in a similar spirit as I perceive you to have, or if I'm going to choose at that moment to allow a power that's outside of me. And that power is Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. If I'm going to choose by faith at that moment to allow him to have those thoughts, those emotions that want to come, and allow him to change me, that's that transforming power right there.
And when that happens, if I have had the wrong spirit, the best way to help me to gain my peace back is by you having that peace.
That's right.
And so instead of trying to say, honey, you have a wrong attitude toward me right now, you know, and try to, it may be true, but because of you allowing Christ to give you that peace, mm-hmm. that peace that passes all understanding, it's an encouragement to me to surrender myself because I'm not having that peace and I want that peace back too. And that's what helps us to grow in a harmonious marriage. And the thing I find so encouraging through this whole process, because so often I said, I'm so weak, I can't do this. I'm just a failure as a human being, you know, to allow the Lord, you know, why do I keep failing? But it says that through the Apostle Paul that Christ's strength is made perfect in weakness. And I have got a lot of weakness. And when we believe that Christ's strength, the power to change our responses, to change our thoughts, to change the whole direction that we're going, our emotions, everything about us, when we allow that strength to find its home in our weakness and it changes that, that's very encouraging to me.
Amen. One of my favorite verses too is Isaiah 26:3. It says it in a different way, but it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. What kind of peace?
Perfect peace.
That's right. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because, why? Because he trusteth in thee. And many times the Lord brings this to my mind when I am not at peace and when I'm wanting to blame someone else, the Lord brings this to my mind that he is the only one that can bring me back to peace or keep me in perfect peace. And the only way that's going to happen is if my mind is willing to be stayed on him, which takes us back to that verse we talked about in Proverbs. Mm-hmm. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. If we're willing to be surrendered in that moment of time, and I know you've heard us talk about this in other programs, this surrender is so vital because it takes me, it takes us to a power that's above us and outside of us that has a life-changing power in the moment to heal us and bring that peace.
It's a winning power.
Amen.
It's a winning power. And you know, I found that sometimes my emotions on the negative side have been what's helped me to recognize that I don't have that peace. You know, we want to argue, oh yeah, I'm at peace, and you know, but we're not really at peace. And you know, the Lord uses sometimes those negative feelings, the emotions that are very real that we experience. I call it the thing that comes up from underneath, you know, and it just kind of overwhelms. It's at that moment sometimes is my first recognition that I need Christ, because I'm not doing very good right now. And I've tried the blaming situation, and that doesn't give me any more peace. It only destroys our peace more, and it affects the relationship in a negative way.
That's right. Does that mean then that we can never talk about where the problem started or who may be at fault in the situation?
No, not at all. We have to be able to talk about that, but it doesn't have to be done from a selfish perspective.
That's right, because that's where the fatal cycle begins. Mm-hmm. If we are trying to get someone else to be our solution, and instead of letting Christ be our solution and then come back to one another in His solution, if we don't do that, we're never going to find peace. We're going to find a fatal cycle that often takes too many marriages in the wrong direction. I remember the story of a lady, very powerful story, and I know you remember the story very well. This lady's husband, they were Christians, they had a Christian family, but he became very discouraged and his emotions began to take him in a direction that was not right. And he began to leave Christ, and eventually he completely left everything that he, you know, had called important to him in his Christian experience. And he began to separate from his wife and only be home, you know, just very little. And he separated from his children. And I remember how this lady shared with us. We were actually in their home. And she shared the bitterness that started to well up inside of her, and the hurt, and the, you remember, the emotions and the anger. How can he do this to me? And that's a very hard question to answer. And she was experiencing all these emotions, and it was beginning to take her down, and her children were crying, and she began to recognize by the grace of God, as the Spirit of Christ was calling to her, the Holy Spirit was calling to her heart, and she began to recognize that I'm allowing my husband's turning from the Lord to destroy me. I'm allowing it to destroy my children. I'm allowing this to do more damage than he's already done. And so, as you recall, she made a commitment, a powerful commitment to God on her knees and with her children, that she would do all that she could do to love her husband as he was. She would not compromise principle. She would not enter into some of the sin that he had gone back into. But she said, by God's grace, I am going to make this home a little taste of heaven, because if my husband continues in the way that he's going, he will have no heaven to look forward to. And I want to make his life a little bit like heaven. What a powerful testimony of what happened over the next few months as that man began to respond to the love that he saw in his wife. And he himself told us that it was the love of his wife giving him a reflection, a taste of Jesus and a taste of what heaven is really like, when she should have been angry and bitter against him, that actually began to win his heart back to his family and he returned to the Lord. So what an opportunity we have, maybe again, not in that kind of a devastating situation, but in our day-to-day interactions and communication, rather than responding the way self wants to respond, rather than to want to get even or to get into the same spirit that somebody else is having, we can allow Christ to make the difference in us and give that person, give our wife, our husband, a little taste of heaven.
You know, sometimes, honey, it's not just circumstances in the marriage or words that are spoken or misunderstandings that cause the stress or cause the disharmony or cause the emotions to come. Sometimes there are physical issues.
Right.
And I know you remember all too well a number of years ago when I had a surgery that lost all of my female organs.
That's right.
That my whole emotional status just went totally haywire. My emotions were uncontrollable. Mm. I felt so discouraged and low and even depressed at times. And I recognized those emotions were going to destroy me, and they would have a destroying effect in my family. And I didn't want them. But it was a physical response that I was experiencing. And even with that, I found God's grace is sufficient. Because when I recognized those dark days of depression, I made choices, not because I felt like it, but because I believed God and I believed His Word.
Amen.
And I had to make a choice of faith, which every one of these is going to be a choice of faith. And when I made those choices of faith, one by one by one, pretty soon the day started getting a little brighter. And the Lord helped me for a number of years until those hormone issues got solved.
Amen.
To resolve that. And I wasn't taken down by that. So there are other issues out there that can affect our emotions, but whatever they may be, God's grace is sufficient.
And I think it would be good right now as we come to the close of the session just to ask God's grace for our viewing audience. Father in heaven, we know your grace is sufficient. You know the issues that people are facing, the anger issues, the hurt, the various emotions. And we ask, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to work now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, next time we get together, we're going to be talking about when counseling is necessary. Maybe there's issues that can't seem to get resolved in the marriage. When counseling is necessary, next time we get together.
This has been a Three Angels Broadcasting Network production.